Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 54, and it's a Monday, June 12th, 2017. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, welcome everyone to Gay Geek Bizarre, where we talk about gay topics, geek stories, and bizarre news. So, before we go forward, happy Philippine Independence Day! Yes, I'm from the Philippines, so that's why I am kind of commemorating the...
you're not a citizen anymore.
Oh, that's right. I'm an American citizen. But I am originally from the Philippines, so yeah. That's what it is. All right. So let's do some weekend updates, Ray, before we go through our stories. We got a big show for our audience today, so it would be nice to share our stories. So, Ray, what did you do all weekend?
Well, you're still costing me money from Halloween.
Oh, really? So what happened? You're still...
Well, if anybody don't remember back at the Halloween podcast that we did, my car got broken into when I went to Nard's in New Orleans.
And then
I had to get a bunch of work done to the car. So last week I was driving along and all of a sudden the window in the passenger side, the one that got broke out, just fell.
Okay.
So I got it back up, took it into the dealership this weekend, and they're like, oh, it's going to cost $800 to fix because they didn't install the window properly. So now it's bent this, it's tore up this, blah, blah, blah. So Maynard's costing me more money.
Well, the insurance company cost you money.
No. You cost me money.
Yeah, because...
You said it was safe to park there.
It was always safe. It was a freak accident. You're not the only one who got it hit.
Anyway, yes, but I'm still suffering.
I know.
Maybe and if I have to come up with $800, I'm wiped out. I'm completely have no money.
Maybe we can have our audience help out or something.
I don't know. Maybe we need to do a GoFundMe account or something. But we'll see what the insurance does if they do anything. So
okay.
Also had a game night Saturday.
Yeah.
So there were a few friends over, so that was fun.
I wasn't invited.
Well, you were, but you were like, "Oh, I'm busy." What were you doing?
Oh, no, hanging out with my straight friend.
Uh-huh. Your bear. No, your straight bear, hot bear.
Well, I also had a... I didn't want to travel too far because I had a wasp sting. I got stung. I have a story about that later. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I can talk about it. So.
Mm-hmm. And other than that, Adam West died.
Oh, that's right. So rest in peace, Adam West. He's the one who
played Batman in the early
Batman
in the 1960s. Yep. So.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's really sad that he's gone. Yep. And he did some cameos on Simpsons once in a while, right?
Adam he's been West. On a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really sad. So anyway, so you mentioned about New Orleans. I was in New Orleans last weekend because of. I had to visit Mike. The flights were kind of cheap, so it's not so bad. Spirit Air is not so bad, Ray. They're okay, as long as you're really, really flying very, very light. Just one small bag. Uh-huh. And then, we saw Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you saw Wonder Woman already, and then Mike and I watched it. And Ray, you're fiddling with your microphone. I could hear it. Okay. Anyways, so we went to watch Wonder Woman. And like what Mike would say, I always have to quote him because he was the one who thought about it. So Wonder Woman had sex with Captain Kirk. And she also killed Professor Lupin. So that's pretty much.
That is pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So anyway, so also we went to N7. Ray, you went to N7 before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So let me guess what you ordered.
What?
You ordered the steak.
I can't remember. That was so long ago.
Oh, really?
That was the night I was still traumatized by my window getting broken in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's the same You're never gonna let it go, are you? You're never gonna let it go, aren't you?
No.
Anyway, so yeah, N7, they had canned sardines and calamari. Did you try that? You wouldn't eat those. You wouldn't eat those.
We had an appetizer, and I can't remember what it was. Dinner was really good. Mm-hmm. And then we had a dessert that I think we both got a dessert, and the desserts are pretty good. So,
oh, we didn't have dessert back then. Oh. It's very pricey. Oh my God, we're paying like $20 for a canned sardines, or $20 for a canned calamari.
Why are you eating canned sardines when you can get those?
That's what they offered. Well, they are supposed to be imported from somewhere. Yeah, that's the selling point of N7. It's actually a hidden place. You won't get to see until you, unless you look at Yelp or something. Or
yeah, it looks like a dump. They don't have a big sign. I mean, yeah. It's just the fit. It looks like an old junkyard or something. And then you walk in, it's like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah. So, well, still looks like a garage.
It's very hipster.
Very hipster, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we ate at the Cheesy Cajun. I sent you a picture, Ray, of what we ate. It's the Scotch eggs. Didn't you make Scotch eggs before, Ray?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so. That's pretty good. You know, hard-boiled egg wrapped in a sausage casing, or a sausage. Uh-huh. I mean, or like a meatloaf or something.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. And we had cheesy. We had the cheese curds and everything, and boudin. Pretty good. And on the way back home, by the way, Ray, I got stung by a wasp. I showed you last Sunday. I visited you. Oh, my God. It was excruciating. When's the last time you ever got stung by a bee or a wasp?
It's been a while. But did you get a cigarette and get the tobacco out of it and dap it and stick it on it to pull the poison out?
No, I didn't. Just left it alone.
Oh, well, that's probably why. Did you take the stinger out?
I can't even find it, the stinger.
Yeah, it might have not pulled out, but... It probably fell out, or it pulled, or it didn't pull out. So,
or probably yeah. So I just put alcohol on it and everything, and it's a little bit. It's not really sore. It's just really painful skin and painful on the skin. So, mm-hmm. The skin part.
You know, well, if you get stung, you can always get somebody that's got a cigarette, bust it open, get the tobacco out of it, wet it, and stick it on it, and put like a Band-Aid on it, and it helps draw the toxins out, the venom
tobacco.
For the sting.
Yep. Cigarettes. So my foot's gonna smell like cigarettes for a while.
It's the only thing that cigarettes are worthwhile for.
No, for wasp stings.
Yeah,
must be an old maid's a remedy. Let me check that out online. So anyway, we played softball yesterday, even though I had a wasp sting, and but it's okay. We lost our game then first, and then we won, and then we lost again. Well, just a pretty mediocre way to end the season. It's the last game of the season.
Oh, so we don't have to talk about softball anymore for a while?
You're not going to hear softball anymore for a while.
Yay.
Yay.
Well, if you've been hearing for the last 10 years, you're going to retire?
No, probably not. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go to our stories, Ray. We do have a couple of stories that are, some of them are sad, some of them are happy.
Yeah.
Some of them are bizarre, of course, very weird. And let's go to one of our gays here. And I guess I can read this one, huh?
Yep.
Because I have things to say about this story. Okay, so it's been a year now, Ray, right? It's been a year since the Pulse, the Orlando Pulse happened. The massacre.
Yep.
So anyway, Pulse Orlando. Hundreds gather outside nightclub to remember 49 lives lost. And I was watching TV this morning, and they did flash those 49 people who died. And their names were there and everything. So as he walked up to the Pulse nightclub, memories of last June clouded Ramses Tinoco's head. I don't know who this guy is. So he still remembered hearing the gunshots. He remembered running for his life. Okay, he's one of the survivors. But the place that has haunted him for a year was a different early Monday. Dozens of angels stood guard outside their wings made of PVC pipes and flowing white fabric. Yeah, I saw the pictures today. It was, they have wings and kind of very squarey. But it's a very good gesture. So people lit candles, hugged, and talked about their memories at the club before it became the place where 49 people were killed and at least another 68 injured. Tinoco stood shoulder to shoulder with hundreds of others as the names of each victim was called at 2:02 a.m. Oh, wow, 2:02 a.m. That's probably the same, the exact time everything happened. So the exact, yeah, that's what he said. A few family members stepped forward to say the name of the person they lost. It's totally different now. It's like all the terrifying and awful memories I had been replaced with tonight, with this unity and all this love, Tinoco said. We're all still grieving, but this gave me some closure. I could smile and remember the 49. The early morning ceremony, which began at 1:45 a.m., was open only to survivors, family members, or loved ones of the 49 people who were killed there a year ago. Hundreds more gathered outside the fence surrounding the building. So yeah, it's a tragedy what happened to Pulse Disco last year, and I do have some memories about it, Ray. I think I told you about it. It kind of affected me because my sister was not really involved, but my sister is a nurse. I was a nurse back then, and she noticed all this surge of people coming into the hospital and where she was working at late at night, and she did notice that there's a lot of people, you know, who came from the Pulse Disco, and so she witnessed firsthand these people coming in who either wounded or dying or yeah, it's really sad. So anyway, that's why it's strikes me that people still, of course, remember this day, and somewhat part of my family was able to witness a tragedy that happened because of hate, because of fear, because of homophobia, or I don't know what else is the guy thinking. Didn't he die? Didn't the
he died. Yeah,
he died, right? He got shot, or he died.
Yeah, they took him out.
Somebody took him out, or I was thinking he.
The police took him out. I think. I can't remember. Oh, yeah. He committed suicide. The police took him out. I think the police took him out.
Oh, okay. Anyway, it's really a sad, and it's good that people remember. And probably June 12th. I guess it is June 12th. That did happen last year. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's the story. What's the next one, Ray?
Okay, going on to our next gay story. United Methodist Church appoints transgender deacon. In Barclay, a transgender person who doesn't identify as male or female and who uses the pronoun they was appointed in the church Northern Illinois Conference over the weekend. For so long, I've longed to be a pastoral presence in the world, and certainly you can do that without a collar. But we have an ordination for a reason, and part of that is that I can publicly identify as a pastor now, Barclay told the United Methodist News Service. Barclay previously worked as the director of communications for Reconciling Ministries Network, an unofficial United Methodist group that advocates for full inclusion of LGBTQ people at the church. The United Methodist Church is one of the largest Christian denominations in America and has encountered internal debate over the LGBTQ inclusion for years. The church does not prohibit the ordination of transgender clergy, but holds that engaging in sexual relationships outside of a heterosexual marriage is a bar to ordination. The Book of Discipline, the church's governing document, states that all individuals have an inherent worth, but that engaging in same-sex relationship is incompatible with Christian teaching. To navigate the world as trans queer and as a pastor means a great deal to me because I know personally how much religion has been and continues to be used for harm against the LGBTQ and other marginalized populations, Barclay told Huffington Post. It's important to have an opportunity as a pastor to condemn such spiritual abuse and offer pastoral care, preaching, and theology that engages holiness, life, liberation, justice, and compassion, especially to those who are struggling to recognize themselves as beloved, Barclay added. So I thought that was a pretty interesting article that the Methodist Church has always, to me, has always felt like it was very open, but it still has those old tenets of, well, mm-hmm. outside of a traditional man and woman marriage, it's not right.
There are a couple of things I can say about this. One of the things that they mentioned is about homosexual or same-sex relationships is incompatible with Christian teaching. So, okay, it's incompatible, but does it mean it's prohibited? But does it mean it is forbidden?
It's not forbidden because now it's legal in the U.S. But that's the whole thing that all the churches have to deal with. And that's the same tenet that all other churches deal with and religions deal with, is that the Bible says that, you know, that pretty much comes back and marriage has always been between one man and one woman. And it's about procreation. And gay marriages aren't about procreation. They're about love and support and different type of families. So the churches, you know, and I don't expect churches to change overnight because, I mean, hell, they've been this way for 2,000 years plus years now.
And
it's taken that 2,000 years from the original church to development of the Catholic Church to the Martin Reformation to all the different changes and all the other different variations of Christianity to evolve. So, and hopefully they will continue to evolve as things move forward.
That's true. And also, you mentioned that the new pastor, the new deacon, they... See, I cannot say he. Yeah. I cannot say she. It's a they. That is a good display, a perfect display of a non-binary gender. Have you heard of that, Ray? They are a non-binary gender. So, like you and me, Ray, we are binary. We are both one-sided only. We're men, and then of course our mothers, they're women. So. Yeah. So even though there are also other transgendered who are men, let's say female to male, they're men, and they refer to themselves as she because they're transgender. They have the condition called transgender dysphoria. But I guess this person also has transgender dysphoria probably, but They refer to themselves as the pronoun they because they are non-binary because they're probably neither male or female, or they're both male and females. I think it's kind of confusing. Don't you think, Bray? So anyway, not to you. Oh, you're not confused?
No.
You just say, okay. Isn't it new to you these days that you actually refer to them as they?
Well, nobody's ever asked me to refer to them as they.
Yeah, you haven't been a non-binary
person,
right?
I don't think it'd be that hard for me to get used to it because I always refer to me as we. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
you talk about yourself as we?
Yeah, as in the royal we.
The royal. Right. So let's see if that will fly, Ray. All right. So, what do you guys think about a non-binary? Transgendered pastor.
Well, we'll see how long it lasts because apparently they are not in a married relationship.
Yeah.
And when that comes up, that might change him and get them de-deaconized, but we'll see.
Oh, right, that's right. They, if it's non-binary, that means they're both. That's what they call them. They.
No,
it's the presence of both.
No, it's the whole thing of them being in a non-heterosexual marriage. So if they marry somebody,
wait a second, you're redefining non-binary.
No.
What is non-binary then? Heterosexual? They're not in a heterosexual.
No, I'm just saying they're apparently from the article that this person is not married. But
he's not married.
No, they are not married. Not he. They are not married.
They are not married.
But they do get married, that could cause them to be excommunicated from the church. I mean, pastors have already been excommunicated, and we've talked about it on the show because they married gay couples.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes against church doctrine, and they were punished for it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if this person ever gets in a relationship.
Yeah.
And gets into a committed married relationship. So will they be able to still preach and hold their credentials and be ordained?
Okay.
All right, on to the geek.
Let's go to the geek. This is something I saw in Gadget. I posted it on Geek Bazaar on Facebook. So, Best Buy will let you rent gadgets before you purchase them. Instead of buying them and returning them, you can actually rent them. I think that's interesting. So, retail is tough. Customers have to be able to figure out which item will best suit their needs while retailers need to make sure their customers are happy enough with their purchases to keep them. One way to serve both needs is with a solid try before you buy system, which lets consumers get some hands-on time with items from before committing to a full purchase. So this is even more useful when customers are looking for big ticket items like fancy wearables and high-end cameras, big box electronics. Retailer Best Buy has partnered with gadget rental startup Lumoid. That's a weird name, to provide just such a system, which is due later this month. So according to Recode, Best Buy will soon be able to rent items like cameras, wearables, and audio devices, and with a featured button on Best Buy's website. A Best Buy spokesperson confirmed to Engadget that drones will not be on offer through the rental service, which I understand they could just break it really easily. Best Buy's website will have a button that says sends you to Lumoid's site to manage the actual rental of these items, many of which may be open box returns instead of new items. You'll learn about 20% of the rental price in Lumoid credits, which can then be applied to a purchase of the rented item. Best Buy gets to breathe new life into items people have already bought, and customers get to check out big items for a low month fee. Okay, this part is interesting. So this new program could give Best Buy an advantage over Amazon, which does not currently offer a similar rental service. So Amazon doesn't have this, right? Letting customers rent a higher priced item like a Sonos speaker, Sony Alpha camera, or Apple Watch could get them the time they need with a device to decide if the purchase is worth it. Lumoid's founder, Arthi Ramamurthy, says that wearables get the highest conversion rate from rental to purchase, with 1 in 3 renters deciding to buy after the try. We've reached out to Lumoid for more details on this partnership and we'll update this post. So this is an article from Engadget. So this is interesting, Ray. So is there anything in Best Buy that you want to try first before you buy? Because be honest, Ray, when you go to a store like Best Buy, do you look at something, oh, this is nice, let me check online how it is? Tell me, Ray, you've never done that.
No, I've done research on stuff and talked to people and found, talking to friends and stuff that might have had it and stuff before I go buy it. But, I mean, I don't make those kind of purchases that often. So, I mean, maybe if there was some new great thing that come out, I'll say, well, is this really worth it? So maybe.
So that's probably the time you would really try. But yeah. I'll be honest, Ray, I've done that a lot of times. If I look, I need a case for an iPad or a case for a phone, for example. I would go to Best Buy and check out what they have. And then, I see this. This is like $30. Wait, this is expensive. Let me check online. Right there. I'm inside Best Buy and press buttons and see, it's $20 here in eBay or $20 from Amazon, then I buy an Amazon. Yeah. So you've never ever done that?
What?
No.
Well, yeah, I do comparison pricing and stuff. Well,
no, not comparison. But when you're inside. But you're inside Best Buy.
But I don't usually buy shit from Best Buy because they're expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the point. They are expensive. That's why I go online
I'll walk through Best Buy to look at stuff. And maybe if I was going to buy a TV, I'd buy it from Best Buy. Or if I was getting a new sound system, I might buy it from Best Buy. But other than that, I don't really go in there to do stuff. Oh, it used to be interesting to go in there because they had all this other stuff, but they've changed their line, and I find it no reason for me to go into Best Buy anymore. Really.
So now it is interesting now that they do rent out stuff like speakers and everything. I do want to try some speakers. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe I could try some Sonos speakers if it's any good here at home. So, yeah, I'm interested.
Well, Sonos speakers are great. I mean, if you just got to get the stuff. They're just very, very expensive.
Yes, that's why. Let me see if it's worth it. I can try renting it out and see what happens. And then,
well, you should know from when I had them at the ex's house that they were worth it.
Oh, yeah. They're pretty good. I remember. Anyway, so let me, audience, let us know if you guys are going to do it. Are you guys going to try renting from...
Now, what might be interesting is if the new laptops come out, or a new type of laptop or pad comes out, and you could rent that to play with it for a month or two to see if you like it or not.
And they do rent by the month, I think, and then there's some a certain amount. And I think that's interesting that you can try out. I think they usually it's what they said it's like open box, maybe computers. But they were talking about more cameras, speakers,
Yeah.
Apple watches,
Now, cameras, I can understand because a lot of people that are buying cameras and stuff like to play with them to see how good they are before they go purchase them. And it's hard to do that. So now you could rent one and try it for a month and play with it. It's like, okay, that has some good ones. And then go try another one and like, oh, okay, this one's a little bit better, but I like the one, and look and see which one's better. So,
And you know you're going to protect it with your life when you rent it because it's an
yeah.
expensive item and
Well,
you
I'm
walk
sure you
around it.
have to buy insurance that goes along with your monthly rental.
I heard about that. I have friends who go ahead and rent the camera and try it out for a week or so. But I heard and then bring it somewhere and take it and make use of it and see if it's if it, you really like it, then you do go buy it. I heard about that. What did I hear it from? Wayne? I can't remember from who, but you can rent cameras or
Yeah.
lenses. Actually, camera lenses, you can do that. All right, so Ray, let's go to the bazaar. And I saw this on the Geek Bazaar page,
Yeah.
Facebook page, and it's really bizarre. And it's near us,
I
it's just
know.
about 3 hours away, and we
That's
have
right.
vampires really like 3 hours away from us.
Well, there's probably vampires in Houston. So,
Probably.
anyway, real life vampire couple says sucking blood is better than sex. I don't know about all that now.
I don't know about that. No.
So, they're bloody perfect for each other. Two self-proclaimed vampires in Austin, Texas, say they found true love thanks to passionate relationship built on sucking each other's blood. Countess Leah and Count Tim Van Dorn, who
They have
we
a
don't
name.
suspect are really royal, met 2 years ago at a vampire festival and felt what Tim described to Barcroft TV as an instant connection of darkness. That quickly turned into a romance that alternately really bites and really sucks in the good way, according to Lee, a 20-year-old fetish model.
So
We
bad.
were kind of like sharks once we get going. I feel the rush of life, their essence, and it's the energy is coming into me, she told Barcroft TV. It's a sexual experience, and we often draw blood in the bedroom. Vampires are highly sexualized creatures, and having sex literally gets blood pumping. Although the couple each has matching acrylic fangs strong enough to draw blood, they prefer to use razor blades or syringes. Tim, a 31-year-old tarot card reader, says the experience is satisfying as sex. When I feed via blood, it's just as good as sex because I feel the rush of life, their essence. The energy is coming into myself and I'm taking it in and feeling empowered. I feel the person I am feeding from on is a whole different level in a totally different way than I could with words. Leah added, I actually prefer drinking blood to having sex. You're taking the essence of a person and that to me is ecstasy. There is no better feeling. These partners in plasma plan to get married in November of 2018 are raising Tim's 3-year-old son from a previous marriage. They say they will both be happy if he follows in their path, but don't want to force it on him. We feel that it's something that the vampire has to discover for themselves, Tim told Barcroft TV. As extreme as the practice may seem, consuming small quantities of blood are likely harmless according to live science, as long as the donor is free of bloodborne diseases. A 2015 study by DJ Williams, director of social work at Idaho State University, suggests that the global vampire population numbers in the thousands. Though the Twilight movies and the True Blood series have helped make vampires trendy, William tells Reuters that the majority of self-proclaimed vampires believe they were born that way. They didn't choose this.
I don't know. It's kind of
So,
suspect.
I don't know. I think, like, sometimes when I'm playing really rough with somebody and sucking and biting on them, I think that, if skin gets broken, there's a little blood, that's perfectly fine. But I don't know about taking your syringe and getting blood out of them and then drinking it straight like that. I don't
Oh
know.
yeah.
So,
No. But when you like for example, Ray, you have a you have a massive, massive penis, and when you're pounding someone and it bleeds because it's just so big, right?
don't know what you're talking
You would draw blood. There would always be
Oh,
blood.
yeah. I get what you're talking about now. Yeah, but no, but there's usually other stuff going on down there, and I ain't gonna be sucking the blood from that, so.
Oh yeah, okay. Ugh.
So,
All right. So I was talking about penis. We have a story about penis
yeah.
here. But it's the other kind, not as big as Ray's, according to Ray.
I got that big American penis.
That's right. So man got his penis stuck in a tiny wrench, an itty bitty wrench, and the removal was humiliating. So in the land of strange and painful news, a mysterious man from eastern China's Zhejiang province has made the news after having his penis removed. Oh my God, it got removed. I thought it just got stuck. But not for any of the medical reasons you probably conjured up in your mind. Nope, he was forced to have his manhood removed after he got it stuck in a wrench, and a tiny wrench at that. But to be clear, his penis, his dick, was the tiny wrench that he had it removed from, not his body. So, understandably, so the man doesn't want to be named, and the circumstance. Oh yeah, of course, I'm afraid of going out of the hospital already. Understandably, so the man doesn't want to be named, and the circumstances under which he snagged his dick in a wrench. Did you replace these words? It's a
No,
new story, and you keep
this is a new
saying
story.
dick.
New
It's
story.
a. You can't be saying dick as a new story. Good
Well,
God.
maybe in
In a.
China.
Maybe they did. It's a translation. In a wrench are unbeknown to all parties involved, but one can only assume it was some crazy kinky shit he might have been into. Oh my God, I agree. What kind of new story is this? So that's my best guess because that, oh, it's an opinion because it's a my. It's not really a. So that's my best guess because that, what the hell would a wrench be doing in the same vicinity as your dick? Although doctors attempted to execute a plan in which they surgically removed the wrench from his penis by slowing down the blood flow to it. However, after the man, mystery man's parents refused to show up to the hospital to give written consent, they were forced to take drastic measures by bringing in the fire department to use an angle grinder. Oh my God. So now I'm not sure what that is, but the word grinder. Oh come on, I'm not gonna read this part. It's an. So they drill. They the drill they brought along had a high speed engine that allows it to rotate up to 300,000 times per minute, making it ideal for freeing penises. First, they tested it out on one of the firefighters' wrenches. They took it to the man's schlong. What kind of. Anyway. So, but they also reported that the poor man sustained no further injury aside from his pride and I guess he lost his dick. However, we're thankful that the man was saved from the tiny wrench, regardless of much deeper curiosity concerning the circumstances of his penis entrapment.
Well, no, I don't think he lost his penis. I think they removed the wrench from his penis.
Well, yeah, but.
I think the translation is kind of wonky, but I don't think he lost his penis. I think reading that, I was like, wait a minute. I think that they removed the wrench from his penis and it
Oh,
got
it's a
lost.
blogger by Kiara
So
Sylvester.
okay. So I think
Oh,
there's some transition there. So some translation lost
yeah,
in
just
translation. So.
yeah. Anyway, I thought it was I heard that that guy is about in his 30s and still wanting consent from his parents. Anyway,
Well, it is China, so it's a little different than here.
yeah. Anyway, Ray. So, what are we gonna do now? So, I guess those are the stories. Oh, by the way, I'm gonna be in Savannah, Georgia. What am I supposed to expect in Savannah, Georgia?
Try not to get
You've been.
lynched.
Oh, really? Because I'm not white. Is that what you're
Yeah,
saying?
try not to get lynched. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Go walk around Old Town Savannah and stuff. It's very pretty. Go take a ghost tour.
A ghost tour.
Yeah, there's a couple of good pubs in the Old Town section. Go have a beer and stuff. So,
I'll be with family all weekend, so I don't think
well,
I'm
you
gonna
can
have
get them
fun
to the
there.
curb after everything is done and then go down there. So.
Okay. Y'all just stay in the hotel room while I go outside and have a beer.
Yep.
I can probably do that.
Yeah, you can take the brother-in-law with you.
No, probably not. Okay, Ray, so I guess that's our show. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our show. And a special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's in facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Go to the official website, gaygeekbizarre.com.
That's right. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next show. Bye.